Parshas Mishpatim begins by saying Ve'ele HaMishpatim. Even though Rashi tells us that in general Ele Posales Rishonim Ve'ele with the Vav is Mosif al Rishonim, but as we know it could have said Ve'HaMishpatim to tell us that the Ele also has to be telling us something. These to be mamaya, to exclude something else. And we can say that what it excludes is that one might think mishpatim are laws that have reasons. As we know, the difference between mishpat and chok, something without a reason. And these laws have logical reasons. So one might say that if so, we can take the laws from other nations also. And that's what the Torah is warning us against here. And we can use a beautiful drasha given by Rav Moshe Zatzal and Dorash Moshe, by the Maisa of Avram Avinu with Avimelech and Sarah. When Avimelech tells Avram Avinu, "Why did you lie? We're a civilized people. We have laws against doing any such thing." And what does Avram Avinu answer him? "Rak ein yiras Elokim b'makom hazeh." And Rosh Hashiva explains beautifully, what is Avram Avinu telling him? Sure, you have laws on the books. Very nice. But there's one all-important ingredient missing. And that is that those laws are not founded by Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's no fear of Hashem. It's only man-made laws with your finite mind. And history bears this out so many times. Even recent history with the Nazis. No one would have ever thought, as they praised the German people of being so civilized, so cultured, never would they say they would turn out to be such murderers, having laws on the books, a lawful society. But that's the answer, man-made. When the Yetzer Hara wants to change a man-made law, mitzvah, into an aveira, he does it. Or an aveira into a mitzvah, he does it. Whereas if it's founded by a Kodesh Baruch Hu, you have the fear of Hashem. You're missing that one ingredient, and that's why Avraham Avinu said rak. You hear that rak? That's the only thing that could be missing, and that means everything. That one all-important ingredient. You don't have that, you have nothing. It's only when you have the fear of Hashem, the laws are made by Hashem, that's when you know you can't go wrong. And that's what the Torah is teaching us here. Another point that we learn from here, as Rav Moshe explains, that people tend to think that a gadol, sure, I can ask him question in treifas, question in tefillin, but when it comes to, for instance, business matters, or in quotes, worldly matters, they know better. What does the gadol know? That is a major pitfall and terrible mistake. A true gadol, a true Talmud Chacham, the whole Torah encompasses everything. The wisdom of the Torah encompasses and covers everything. no matter what it is. If one comes, no matter what it might be, computer question, as far as it's Nogea to Shabbos, for instance, the Gadol, if let's say he didn't learn computers, doesn't matter. Whatever he has to ask to a computer expert, he will ask and will arrive at the solution through the Torah. Where the computer expert cannot do that. Why? Because all his expertise is in the computer. But without the total knowledge of the Torah, the toiling to arrive at the emes l'amito of Hashem's Torah, one cannot come to a conclusion the way Hashem wants it. And there are many illustrations of maisim that happen. One that comes to mind is a story with Aaron Zatzal. And it is said that during the war years, people approached him to do something to save a number of Yidden that were caught in Sicily before the Nazis come and occupy it. And Reb Aaron said right away, of course, we must learn as much as possible and daven, pray to Hashem, and we must contact the mafia. Yes, Reb Aaron said so. And what did he do? He called his right-hand man in these matters, Reb Yunim, as we all know, was a great tzaddik, philanthropist, and a Talmud Chacham to boot. And of course, as we understand, he didn't have connections to the mafia in the negative way. He had it in a positive way. And it's well known that with the mafia, they can be very civilized as long as you don't butt into their business, so to speak. In their neighborhoods, best protected. They're the nicest neighbors. And that's the kind of relationship and Kiddush Hashem that Reb Yunim and his business dealings had with the mafia. Meaning, not all over, but he had connections. And he got an audience with one of those godfathers for Reb Aaron, and they came to see him in this great mansion, as we can imagine. And when they came, the godfather already was told basically what the problem was. And he said he wanted to hear from the rabbi what he wanted. So Reb Yunim, of course, told him he did not speak English. And he said, that's okay, please, let me hear it from him. And Reb Aaron, as we all have heard probably, was a living fire, the fire of Torah. And with all his heart and soul, he poured out his request to this godfather and pleaded with him to save these Yidden that were caught in Sicily. And the godfather said he understands, even though he doesn't understand a word of Yiddish, from the heart of the saintly man. So Reb Yunim said, how much should I make out the check for? And the godfather said, no, I have only one request. I want a blessing from the rabbi. So, as we can imagine, what in the world would you think you're going to bless this mafioso, especially the godfather? You're going to say, oh, you should be blessed in all your endeavors? As we can understand, and especially getting a bracha from the baron, we sure don't want him to be blessed in those kind of endeavors. And what did this living Sefer Torah think at split second of what to say? And he said it in Yiddish, and Reb Yunim, of course, translated. And he said, you should die a peaceful death. That godfather had the biggest smile in his life, from ear to ear. And he put up like that three ring sign, so to speak, and he said, that was the most beautiful blessing I've ever had. Thank you, and your request will be taken care of. And the story does not end there. Fast forward about 20 years, and there's a stretch limo that pulls up in front of Beis Medrash Gavoa, Lakewood Yeshiva, and a young mafioso type gets out with some bodyguards and asks some of the boys that were standing in front, please take me to Reb Aaron Kotler. And they said, they're sorry, but he passed away. So he said, well, does he have a son? Take me to his son. So he said, are you sure? This is what you want, the address? And he said, yes. So they take him to Reb Shneur. And he tells Reb Shneur that I want the same blessing your father gave my father. And Reb Shneur tells him, he doesn't know if he has the schusim of his father, but whatever he has, he agrees and he wishes him that same blessing. As we can understand, for him to come this way, the blessing was fulfilled. That is the chachma of Torah that covers the gamut of everything. And that's another thing that the Torah is teaching us here. Never get into that pitfall, because it's a lack of emunas chachamim to think that you know better of the, quotes, outside world, business matters, or whatever it is. Not true. The true Gadol with Hashem's Torah and the Siyata Deshmaya that he has knows better. Not only better, knows exactly what Hashem wants. In Pasuk Gimel it says, when the Eved Ivri who sold as a slave, this Jewish man, because he stole, he doesn't have the means to pay it back. So the Pasuk says that his wife goes out with him. And as Rashi says from Chazal, what he means wife goes out with him? His wife wasn't sold into slavery. And as Chazal explained, it means that the master has the responsibility to support his wife and children during the time he's a slave, since he can't work for them. Anything which he makes has to go towards giving back for what he stole, and therefore he has to take care of the family also. But as we always know, that there's always a reason why the Torah expresses it in a certain lashon. For what we just learned, they could have said it explicitly also. So why does it use it in the form that we would say, if we didn't have that Rashi and Chazal, that she goes out also, meaning she's the slave also? And we can say that the truth is, as we can understand, when a man, a husband, has to, Rahman Islan, be sold as a slave, his family is affected also. And the same as being in slavery themselves also. Sure, the master cannot boss them around, so to speak, to do certain things that he can tell the Eved, but they have to suffer with him. Their life before is different. The breadwinner cannot be a breadwinner. Where they were living, whatever. If he has to now, of course, come to live near the Adam, and before he was far away, they have to wander so to speak, with him also. So in a very true sense, that's what the pasuk is teaching us, and to teach every person another thing that he should think of before doing such an aveira, is how he affects others, his family, not only being selfish by himself. The pasuk says later on, if someone kills accidentally, in pasuk Yud Gimel, v'samti lecha makom asher yonush shama, and I will place for you a place where he shall run there. Meaning, of course, as we know, the Arei Miklat, the cities of refuge. And it's interesting that the pasuk should use the expression lecha, you, speaking to anyone who's learning this, who's reading this pasuk. What do you mean for you? It's for the accidental murderer. Why word it in such a way? Of course, Rashi brings from Chazal, the Abba Midbar, Shionu Shama, you here. But again, as we said before, if the pasuk uses such an expression, it could have been more explicit. And especially when you see at the other parasha where you have the din of Arei Miklat, it has these ramazim where you don't have this limud. So what is it saying by telling us this, like it's as if for you, not only the murderer who killed accidentally? So the Kol Dodi beautifully explains that the pasuk wants you to understand that don't think that it's just for the murderer that we have these cities of refuge. It's a lesson for all of us, for many ways. We have to be introspective and examine ourselves also. When we have a murderer in our midst, it says something about the place where he is, where the murder took place. Is there a laxity in the teachings to others, in being careful, things like this shouldn't take place? And in other ways, one has to understand that it's for us also, because if you don't have cities of refuge, and what happens next, the Goel Adam, the Redeemer, the Avenger of the murder victim, will kill the other one, and Hashem doesn't want it. That's why he makes the cities of refuge. And of course, that will in turn cause another family member to kill the Goel Adam. And it goes on and on. No stopping. So we can see what it can lead to. That's why we have to understand it's for you, for ourselves also, to learn these lessons. Not as if it's divorced from you. You have nothing to do with it. And that's a true axiom to always keep in mind in everything. Don't think, for instance, oh, as long as I'm okay, I'm safe, I'm not affected. One has to feel for everyone else also. Whatever you can possibly do for others, that's what has to be done. Then we have the psukim about one who hits a parent or curses a parent. And we have a very interesting thing happening here in the arrangement of the psukim, that kidnapping of a person and treating him as a slave and selling him, it's right smack in the middle of one who hits a parent and curses. And of course, we have to ask, Why separated? You would think that the parent laws should be put together, and then, before or after, put the kidnapper. So Rav Moshe explains beautifully. Even according, there's a machlokes in the Gemara, whether we make a hekesh or not. So, of course, the one who holds that we make a hekesh, still, there has to be a reason why the gonav is in the middle. But according to all, we can say and ask, why was it put in the middle in this way? Could have been learned a different way for each mandama. And the Darash Moshe explains beautifully. What the Torah is teaching us here is we have to understand that someone who can come to a hitting or a cursing of a parent to that level shows no concern for others. A kal v'chomer. If he doesn't show the modicum of respect for someone who brought him into the world, reared him, took care of him, we can understand, and we should understand very well what the Torah is showing us, that we should know that one like that can very easily come to being a kidnapper, and worse also. And we can say also that's one pshat why this kidnapper is Chayav Misa, so to speak, like along the lines of Ben Sora Mora, because we know what's going to Chas V'Shalom happen in the end if this is how low he got already. And this is a lesson to show us to catch everything in the bud, because don't think that it ends there. And also, Rav Schwab Zatzal gives another pshat. And one is not mutually exclusive of the other one. They're both emes. And Rav Schwab says that the gonev is right smack in the middle to show us how the parent himself can be a cause of the gonev. Because a parent can sometimes be too overbearing, a slave driver, as they say. And sometimes, of course, there's no excuse. There might be a reason that the child comes to the cursing or the hitting. And the parent has to understand how careful one has to be according to the Torah. Of course, there has to be discipline. But you have to know when and how and where. And toil, agonize over it, as all parents understand. Of course, the ones who don't take vacations from parenthood, how not to discipline more than one has to, what it can lead to. And in fact, in the same parsha, we see the opposite also. How lack of discipline. And we see that also in the world today, just like throughout history, can be a cause of the child going astray. Even have the goyim, even both parents and child, that they didn't discipline the kids, having a vacation in a different way, as I said before, from parenthood, and the kids run amok and do the worst things because of it. And the Kol Dodi beautifully shows it from another pasuk in the parsha. It says, Osev Ashel Gedi B'Chalev Imo, you shall not cook the kid. And kid, as we know, but we're going to show how it means human and animal. A kid is a young goat, And in the pasuk, it could be a young child, you know, of not necessarily a goat, it could be a sheep, whatever, in the milk of its mother. So the question is, why does it have to say milk of mother? Any milk, no matter who it comes from, not his mother, wherever it is, what is the pasuk telling us by adding its mother? And the Rosh Hashiva Shlita explains that that's what it's teaching here in this pasuk. The other way, when someone is too little disciplined because of the mercies, and the mother is the prime example, of course it can happen by a father also, but as we know, that's why Chazal show Yira is next to the mother, Kavod is next to the father, because in general that's where you need it more, as we know. So it's teaching us here that the classic example of the Rachmanis is from the mother who nurtures the child, nursing. But of course, if there's too much, oh, don't bother him, never bother him, it comes out. Never bother the kid, oh, don't do this, don't do that, he needs a vacation, he needs a rest. And it's overly done. He's always on vacation. That's the point. That's what it's teaching us. Both ways are not good. You have to have the proper discipline of piyatayra. Going back to the beginning of the parsha, and if you don't know, if you're not sure, speak to a gadol, Nemes the Talmud Chacham, to make sure and find out the answers. We also have in the parsha an im, which means if. And yet, it's not an if that it's up to you, but it's a chov. You have to do it. For instance, in Perichav Beis, Pasukhav Dalit, in Kesef Tal Ve'esami, as Rashi brings from Chazal, it's not a rishus, it's a chova. And in the Moshe Zatzal and Darash Moshe asks, of course, if that's true, why is it that the Torah again words it, as we said before? We still have to understand why the Torah words it in the Lashon of Rishus. And he says beautifully, it's to teach us that the ideal is what Hashem wants of us, to feel that even if that chovah was a rishus, that we would still want it and to do it as a chovah. Since we know that Hashem would want us to do it, even though He would put it as a rishus, that we would take it upon ourselves as a chovah. That's how much we would love to fulfill His will. And at the end of this parsha, we have the famous Loshen Na'aseh V'Nishma. Na'aseh V'Nishma, that the Bnei Yisrael said at Har Sinai, an unbelievable madrega. We will do, and we don't even have to hear it first. We just want to do what Hashem says. So the Rosh Hashiva Zatzal, the Moshe, asks, according to that, why do you need the V'Nishma? The Na'aseh would do it, would answer it enough. What is the addition of a nishma? So we can say, as we all know, one can agree to do something, but how you do it? Will you do it the way that person really wants, in every detail, every facet of his true wish? That's the question. Sure, you can do it, but half-heartedly, not in the best way, even if you do it. What the V'Nishma adds is telling Hashem that we will do it the way you want it, Hashem, completely, with every single detail. That was the unbelievable madrega of the Bnei Yisrael here. That we won't do it our way, but completely your way. As they say in English, the letter of law and the spirit of the law. When you really know the true way that Hashem wants it to be done and you fulfill it completely. And as Rosh Hashiva Zatzal adds, and that of course meaning the Emunas Chachamim to do it, fulfill it, the Torah with the Torah Shabbal Peh, not only Torah Shebichsav, because the only way to understand Torah Shebichsav was the Emunas Chachamim of Torah Shabbal Peh. And Amir Hashem, we should all fulfill it. The Torah, the way Hashem wants of us, totally, in every single facet, with the greatest simchen understanding, im kol olam kuloi, tamid mi'atav yad olam.